Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy, and today we get a chance to talk to Dr. Darlene A. Mayo. You guys, she is someone that I just look up to so much. I love following everything that she's doing. And we had the chance to meet, gosh, 2020, actually, at the beginning of the pandemic. We were both invited to be part of a summit. And I just have been following her ever since, you guys, and I cannot wait for you to have the opportunity to listen to her, to be inspired by her, and to really allow her journey to be the next possible step for you to get unstuck. Darlene is a neurosurgeon, you guys. She is a neuroscientist. She is an author, and she is the founder of, why don't you just kind of tell us a little bit more about that? I don't want to wreck it because it's so cool what you're doing. So I'm gonna give that to be a little teaser for everybody. Why don't you tell us, Dr. Mayo, all about you and how you're serving people today?
I will. Well, Lachelle, thank you so much for inviting me to be here to speak to your audience. It is just such an honor every time you and I connect. I just love what happens. So thank you for having me here. And yes, so I am a neurosurgeon. I am a neuroscientist. Interestingly, I have not practiced in about 5, 6 years now. So at the age of what, 44 years old, I say the Lord invited me out of practicing, which was kind of a scary experience. Okay. I had spent my entire life, everything I had done was preparing to be a doctor, training to be a doctor, studying to be a doctor, and then actually being a doctor. So when I got this invitation to do something else, and I didn't even know, folks, what I was going to be doing, I just knew that that season was over. So took a leap of faith and stepped out, and I knew I was called to write books, first of all. So I stepped out into that, and then this journey unfolded. And now I founded a medical consulting company. I have founded a ministry called Healing in the Kingdom, where I use strategies in brain science and scripture to bring healing to those who need it in body, mind, and spirit.
How amazing is that, you guys? And so I just feel like, even though Darlene and I have been in each other's, sphere of influence for a couple of years, we just reconnected recently. And, how cool is that? Because I don't know if you guys have been following my story, but this is the first time I've announced this on the podcast, but I just resigned from my 20-year career as an anesthetist at the place that I have been employed at for the last, 20 years. And it is scary, but one of the things that I have found, guys, is that when God leads us someplace, He gives us a life beyond what we could have asked for. And that is really where I'm stepping into. Every single step I've done up to this point has been better and bigger than I had imagined or planned for myself. And just like Dr. Mayo, I also had spent my entire, life in school preparing for this position, this career. And I'm literally just finding that my eyes are open to all of these really cool things. But just like Darlene, and I know because we both nerd out on all the brain science stuff, right? It's like all of the programming and the paradigms and the things inside of our brains that are comfort zones tell us, like, hold up, what are you doing? I have that little brain of my mom, it's the voice of my mom in the back of my mind saying, go to college, get an education, get a good job, right? And then here I am just trusting, but everything has been just miraculous since that first part of the journey. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get to this place?
Yeah, so it's interesting what you just brought up, Lachelle, because when I was a kid, I had sights on being a doctor, but I did not even conceive of the idea of being an entrepreneur. I mean, that was not my family. My father's successful bankruptcy attorney. He worked for other people. He did run his own business, but I didn't see that as being an entrepreneur, right? Like that language was never used around my house. And then as I grew up, I began to ask the questions. I'm like, well, people work for somebody. Like, who do they work for? They have to work for somebody that originated an idea in the first place, right? And I'm like, wow, how amazing would that be? And that little seed was planted in my mind, I think somewhere in my 20s. It took a while to water it and cause it to grow, but it eventually got there. But it was a huge transition for me because, as you can imagine, when I announced I was retiring early from neurosurgery, there were gasps like worldwide, right? Like, I mean, I had a really great job. I was an associate professor of neurosurgery at the Cleveland Clinic. I was operating, I was doing research, I was teaching. You know, I had so many wonderful things in my life. And people said, "What in the world, you know, is going on?" And part of me, right, part of me believed there was nothing else I could do, right? I would always introduce myself. Yes, I'm a doctor, and that's what I do. And that was a lot of my conversations, actually,
Your
interestingly.
identity, probably.
Yeah, it was my full identity. Let me rephrase that. It was my full understanding of my identity at that time. But one of the most beautiful things about my journey over the last 5, 6 years has been just this expansion of understanding of who I am created to be. And man, I actually teach now in the concept of identity, and I describe it. Love to share with you how I describe it. So
Yes, please.
I describe identity as an artichoke. Okay. You know, you've got the artichoke heart, and then you've got all these leaves of the artichoke, right? And I believe most people spend their life thinking that they're one of the leaves, right? And they think that's the sum total of who they are. And that limits us to even what we can conceive of what we do for a job, right? But the truth is, your core is that artichoke heart. And then you can have an expression in so many different ways. So neurosurgeon, one expression of who I am, right? But at that core, I am a healer, and I bring healing to mind, body, and spirit. And now that I understand that, and I understand how my spiritual gifting ties in with my physical giftings as well, I can bring people freedom at such greater levels in a rapid, accelerated fashion. And I live a life that I absolutely love. And it is just a beautiful place to be. So, one of my favorite things to do is just ask somebody the question, right? I do this with my friends going out to dinner all the time, people I meet sometimes in the grocery store, right? In the cashier line. What would you do if you weren't here?
Totally.
So,
I just had this conversation just yesterday with someone, and I love to say the same. And so, was that something that was an easy part of your journey, Darlene, or was that something that you really had to kind of work at or open your eyes in a new way to make that, come to life for you?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, it was very challenging because I took so even though I practiced for 10 years, I did take a little hiatus in the middle there to do some research. I had an opportunity to go to France and work at the French Atomic Energy Commission, which I did, which was phenomenal, right? And I remember, so when you go to another country, you know, obviously I'm from the US, and when you go to another country to work, you have to have a work visa, right? So it took me a while to get that, but I got that, went over there, worked for about a year and a half, and then I wound up having to come back to the US. My mom was actually sick at the time. I had to come to the hospital. By the time she was stable enough for me to go back to France, here's something interesting that happened. I show up in France, I go to work, and I noticed it was 3 days before my contract was supposed to renew, right? Like, this was not in my mind. I mean, my mom was in the ICU. She was sick, like that. She was my sole focus at the time, right? And I'm like, oh gosh. So I go, you know, and the, you know, if you think there's red tape in the United States, let me tell you, in France, there's like red tape on red tape on red tape. Okay. So I go to the place where I need to go to, you know, get a visa extension, first of all, and then try to get a contract extension. And I learn two very interesting and exciting things. Number one, you know, it's all about your perspective. I've learned that very horribly in the last few years. So I learned, number one, that I could not have a contract extension without going back home for at least 6 months. Okay. And I also learned from the French consulate that if I did not leave the country of France in 3 days, that I would not be allowed back in the European Union for 5 years.
Oh my goodness.
I had an apartment, I had furniture, I had, you know, all of my belongings there because I had just taken a suitcase back home the first time. So here I am thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I had a job in France that was gonna last for a while, right? And I'm like, what in the world am I gonna do? So, you know, putting on my creative, resourceful hat, right? And a lot of prayer. Let me be very clear about that. Like, God orchestrated this amazing way for me to even get out of the country in 3 days. Like,
I didn't have the capital put aside to fly back to the United States at that time because I was working as a researcher over there, right? I was living on that salary.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of frequent flyer miles. So I found this company that literally mishmashed, put together. I flew to Argentina from Paris, stayed there for 2 days, then flew to Las Vegas, and then got to finally fly back home after that, but without paying a dime. It was just a miracle story. But I get back home and now like the immediate, you know, stress is over. Right. But I think, well, what am I gonna do?
Right.
Like, what am I going to do? And all I thought is, I've got to get a job in neurosurgery. I don't have any idea what else I'm going to be able to do. And it was such a struggle for me in the beginning, right? It was really a struggle because I couldn't conceive of doing anything else. So I had a little bit of time there that was challenging for me mentally, you know, and I was in prayer to God saying, what am I going to do? Why'd you bring me back here? And I can't even work as a neurosurgeon. But what happened was amazing. I held on. The vision I had at the time was being a neurosurgeon, right? And that's what I held on to. So we had a national conference coming up. I went to it. Okay. While I'm there holding the vision in my mind of getting a job, run into the person that was my fellowship advisor when I was a fellow. And he introduces me to the head of the Cleveland Clinic neurosurgery department, gives me his card, the head of neurosurgery at Cleveland Clinic, and says, oh, hey, we hear you are in France with Dr. Benabid. Why don't you call me and we're going to do an interview with you, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it just, you hold the vision. And that's just something I really want to share.
Yes.
Because it's powerful. The vision you hold in your mind, your brain has amazing capacity to bring that into fulfillment without you having to, you do have to take steps, right?
Right.
But you don't have to know how to get from where you are to where you're telling it you want to be. Your brain, your mirror neuron network actually does all of that work for you. And it happened then. And then it happened later when I finally had a more full vision of who I was. And so that was an even more beautiful story.
Okay. So there's so many places that I want to take this conversation to, but it's so funny because I almost wrote down hold the vision because you said it a couple times and I picked up on it because I studied the same things that you do and the same things that you teach. And when we look at the power of God and the power of a quantum leap and the power of our brain and the power of all of those things that come together, you're literally a living example of that, of literally what you teach. And so tell us a little bit more about holding that vision. Tell us about the spiritual side, the science side, whatever you're feeling compelled to share with us so that we can understand really how to implement that in our own lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll start with the scriptural basis because everything I talk about, I always start with scripture and then I find the science to back it up. It's amazing how this works, right? So some of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of my favorite was actually the story of Jacob, right? Remember when he was working for Laban, he was trying to get out of there and Laban didn't want him to leave. And then he said, okay, well, you can have all the spotted cattle, right? And then, so he would take the spotted cattle and then Laban would take those away. So he wouldn't have any wages, right? And so God gave Jacob this amazing idea of what to do. And he said, okay, we'll take these sticks, right? And do spots or do stripes or whatever your wage is and put it in front of the animals while they're mating, right? And then they would produce young like that. Do you know that's actually the mirror neuron network of those animals at work? It literally is what you see is what comes into being. Our mirror neuron network connects the spiritual realm and the physical realm. So what happens is what we look at, what we envision in our mind, our brain, our mirror neuron network cannot tell the difference. Yeah. Between that reality and the reality you see around you. So here's what happens, folks, okay? It's holding two truths in mind at all times, right? Well, the things you can see, taste, touch, right? And then that vision you're focusing on. The brain does not like discord, so it's going to reconcile.
Right.
If you take the vision and throw it away, guess what? You're just going to have more of the same, more of what you see. This is how we get stuck, right? We're like, oh, that's a nice vision. I'd love to hold on to that vision, but I can't. I'm not going to allow myself because what if it doesn't work, right?
Yes.
However, here's what happens. I'm going to encourage you guys to hold on to that vision. Okay. If you hold on to it, then the brain says, oh, well, this is the reality I'm supposed to have. So it literally starts building pathways from where you are in life to where you've told it you want to be. And the way this happens is this, okay? Every time we have a thought, you build a pathway in the brain, all right? It's like one brain cell connecting to another brain cell, a little bit oversimplified, but essentially you get the drift, right? The more times you have this thought, the more times you perform an action, right? That pathway gets more and more solid and eventually forms what I call super highways of thought in the brain. Right. When you have enough of these super highways, have you ever seen that overhead view of many highways crossing over? Kind of looks like spaghetti, right? Yes. Think about this. All right. This is what's going on in your brain. So if you picked that up and looked through it, you would see certain things. Your mind would be very focused on certain things, but a lot of things would be blocked out. If we hold on to the vision God has given us, the vision, right? Then those pathways form in such a way that the only things you're going to see are the opportunities that are going to get you there. You are going to notice those connections with individuals who are going to help get you there, right? Yeah. However, if you hold on to your present reality, you're going to see, you're not even going to notice those opportunities. You actually are going to instead see roadblocks. Okay. And you're going to give yourself reasons not to do that. Right. So as we hold on to this vision, literally this it's the renewing of the mind, right? It's Romans 12:2 in action. So you actually see this transformation. It's neuroplasticity, scientific basis of all this. Okay. This happens in recovery from neurologic injury, like stroke, right? Anything like this.
Right.
So this is how it happens as we hold on to that vision. So it is so, so powerful, both from a biblical, I could give you many more examples in the Bible, but that is one that's just so tangible because we can sort of almost see that happening.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I think that one of the other parts that I have found is so powerful when it comes to holding that vision is the belief that it can happen for you.
Yes.
And those seeds of doubt can really sabotage us a little bit. So how do you cultivate those seeds of belief so that you can feel what it would feel like to already have that be your existing life?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a wonderful question. And I have some very specific strategies because you're right. You have to believe that it's possible. That is truly the first step, right?
Right.
And so I can tell you, every single person listening here, you've had a miracle in your life. Maybe it's a big miracle, maybe it's a small miracle, but you've had a miracle in your life. And I encourage you, write down that miracle, write down what that is. And then you're going to remember some more miracles that happened, right? And as you write those down and then take yourself back in your memory, connect with those miracles, right? Look at, wow, you know what? I didn't think there was any way possible that was going to happen, but it did. God came through for me because he's being true to who he says he is.
Right.
And when you draw on that, actually, not only from a brain science perspective, but even from a quantum physics perspective, you're actually harnessing energy from that prior miracle and bringing it into your present day. All right. So, you know, it's interesting. We talk about the kingdom of God, which operates outside of time. Listen, from quantum physics, as you study that, our idea of time, not even close. Like there is nothing linear about time. Okay.
No.
Like everything literally happens in the same moment. So you can have this energy transfer from previous miracles, right? And try, atmosphere shifting is essentially what it is. And we call it a quantum shift in the physics world, right? When you can see that instant transformation in your present world. So that is how I build belief in myself, and that is how I work with my clients to help them build belief, create a miracle book, and dive into it on a regular basis. But certainly when you are presented, when life presents you with an opportunity, right? Maybe that you didn't expect, you dive into that.
Well, and I think that one of the things that's really powerful as well is that when you hold on to your vision and you allow yourself to repeatedly hold on to that vision, just like you said, our brain looks for ways to allow that to be fulfilled. And so for me, at least, this is what happened is that when I start to see you, we see what we look for. And in this place, our brain is going to start looking for validation that that is my life, right?
Yes.
And so as I start to see these tiny little miracles or these tiny little, I call them examples of or evidence that this is truly coming to fruition, it starts to slowly build my belief. And so sometimes I think that we just kind of have to take this leap of faith when we start and then allow our brain to start finding evidence to support that this is possible. And as our brain starts to continue to find that evidence, our belief starts to grow until all of a sudden we're looking around and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is a life that I prayed for all of those years ago, right?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I want to pick up on something you said, Lachelle, because I think once you believe something is possible, you have to, you said, I think your words were, you have to allow yourself, right?
Yeah.
Permission is the next step that you need in building belief. We have to give ourselves permission to hold on to that vision because so many times we've built brain pathways that we have allowed to dictate our self-worth. Right. And we think, oh, I'd love to hold on to that vision, but I just don't know that I deserve it. Right. This is another area, even highly successful people. Look, when I was practicing at the peak of my career, speaking all over the world, I had incredible imposter syndrome, right? Like I didn't feel like I was worthy of being in that position a lot of the time because I was busy listening to a lot of the language. I mean, when I came through neurosurgery, Lachelle, there were only 200 female neurosurgeons in the entire world, not even the United States. Wow. Okay. So talk about a male dominated field and the language I heard. I mean, I can tell you some stories, like even as a resident, you know, I mean, not all of them, but some of the men, very demeaning to me. And I remember this story is very interesting and I won't tell you where it is, although he's retired now. So it probably doesn't matter, but I was interviewing for residency. So after you finish medical school, you go to training, right? Which is residency. And I sat in the chairman's office and he said, what are your aspirations in neurosurgery? And I said, you know, I want to be a chair of neurosurgery, a chairman of neurosurgery. Yeah. And he leans back in his chair. He slams his hand down on the desk and he says, it'll be a cold day in hell before there's a woman as a chair of neurosurgery. And I'm like, thanks so much for your time, sir. And you know, it was a very prestigious residency program, actually. But I said, I am not going to thrive there. That is not good. I'm not going to be a plant that is watered there. So we're just not going to go there.
Right.
So anyway.
But we do. We have people along our journey that reinforce certain belief systems that we have. And, you know, in my experience, and you're so knowledgeable about all of this stuff, but our outside world has to match our inside world. We literally look for evidence for our outside world to match what we have going on inside of our subconscious brain. Yes. And if our subconscious brain has told us that, now I'll use the example of the only way to be successful is to go to college and get a good job, then in my brain, I'm like, how can I be successful and run my own business? How can I be successful if I'm not doing what I spent all of these years doing, right? And so then we don't think that we're worthy of these big audacious dreams that God puts on our heart because it doesn't match with the programming that we have that has oftentimes been instilled there before we're even 7 years old. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we have to decide what thoughts we're going to allow in our presence. And then we also have to decide the thoughts that have been in our presence before we were aware we had control over it, right?
Right.
Which ones we're going to stay in agreement with and which ones we're going to break agreement with. And that's a lot of the work I do because sometimes people don't even know why they believe what they believe.
Right.
Right. They don't even know because it's, you know, either that was how they grew up, as you said, you know, a teacher told them that or parents told them that, or just by example, right? Just by example, like me, like it never occurred to me to open my own business, right? Until I got around, till I got around other entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And I said, oh, I'm kind of like them. Mm-hmm. I think I can do this, right?
Yeah.
So that saying that you become like the five people you spend the most time around, there's actually a ton of science behind this. Okay. It's not only mirror neuron network. It's actually, there's a lot of physics. I won't go into too much detail
for the folks here. Stuff, but
but we could talk about that a little bit more, But it's true that as you see what others are doing, your brain, it comes into possibility, permission, and then you really learn that third key, which is that you actually carry the power within you to change things. Yes. And it's not as hard as you think it is, right?
So. Yeah. No, I mean, I love that. In fact, people oftentimes will hear me say that we have all been given a superpower by God.
Yeah.
And that's our free will. We have the ability to choose every single day, choose again, choose our actions, choose our attitudes, choose what thoughts we're going to allow through, choose what thoughts we no longer serve us and which ones that we no longer want to entertain. And I think that oftentimes we underestimate how powerful our free will and our freedom of choice is in really allowing for us to live out the best life that we could have and that the life that God intends for us, because oftentimes I truly think that we settle. And that's what breaks my heart more than anything is like, we have all of these beautiful gifts. And my favorite analogy is the parable of the servants.
Yeah.
Feeling like we are giving these beautiful gifts, and are we the servant who is burying them? Or are we the servant who is investing our talents into the world to allow for greater influence in the kingdom? And I think oftentimes we let our programming, we let the words that have kind of dimmed our fire a little bit be the thing that guide us in using our talents and not allowing for us to truly discover that heart of the artichoke, right? But we latch on to one of the leaves instead and don't truly, truly live out what we're capable of.
Yeah, I think that's very true. You know, I'm trying to think of how to tell this particular story. So when I first ventured out of neurosurgical practice, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I laid out all these possibilities, right? Because that was the coaching I had at the time, which was actually not wise. Okay. People tell you, oh, don't limit yourself to two choices. Let me tell you something. The brain is binary.
Yeah.
It understands two choices.
Right.
And it's so much easier if you just give yourself two choices. And let me tell you what, even if you make the quote unquote wrong choice, you've data gathered, you've gotten some information, and now you can either make that other choice, or then you have a separate choice, right? And then you can begin to do this. But when we look at, oh, well, I can do this and this and this and this and this, literally your brain, it gets on overload.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's like having, you know, 25 programs open on your computer, right? Nothing's going to
work. Which I'm not guilty of at all.
No, it doesn't work at all. Right. And so when I learned about, because you were mentioning about choice, right? So if we can look at things as this or this, right? And that power of that thought, which a thought in and of itself, it actually creates an incredible amount of energy. It harnesses, that's the appropriate language, really. It harnesses an incredible amount of energy. So much so that, let me tell you this, when I was doing that research over in France, we were working with individuals with spinal cord injury. So maybe car accident, something like that, were paralyzed, couldn't move their arms, couldn't move their legs. Their brain still could produce signals when they desired to move. They had the intention to move their arm, intention to move their leg. Do you know how powerful that brain signal was? We were actually able to capture that energy, send it to a robotic arm, and cause that arm to move with the power of their thoughts. Is that unbelievable or what? So do you know how powerful your thoughts are? The choices, and this is one of the things that really frees people up when I share this with them. If you will spend your energy making the choice of what thought to have rather than trying to force yourself to do an action, you will make your life a whole lot easier, right? And you're going to see that you will eventually get to the point where you are just compelled to do the action that is consistent with the thought, because your brain will compel you to do it. And it's so much easier when we think, oh, all I have to do is think about this. Actually, you do. And you think about it enough and you focus on it enough. And it, because this mirror neuron network, guess where it is in your brain? It's actually in your motor cortex. It's in the part of your brain that controls your ability to move your arms or your legs. So as you focus on this vision, you literally are compelled to take action in the direction that's going to get you unstuck from where you are.
Well, and I think that that goes along with two stories that I've heard. One of them is research that, and I don't remember all of the details. So if you have them, like, feel free to interrupt me, but they studied people who were watching someone shoot a free throw.
Yes.
They were practicing, and like, since you know the story, I'm going to let you tell the story, because you probably use this as an example a lot, I'm guessing.
I do. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they had, I believe they had three different groups. So they had folks shooting free throws every day for like 30 days. Right. Yep. And then they had folks that were, they didn't ever touch the basketball. Okay. They just envisioned themselves shooting the free throw, but they made it very real, right? Like, what is it going to feel like to be standing there? How far do you envision the hoop, right? What is that motion going to feel like in your hands, right? And then I believe they had people that, you know, didn't do either. Okay. So those were those three groups. And then they measured their free throw percentage efficacy at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So listen, the folks that actually shot the free throws and the folks that envisioned themselves shooting the free throws scored within 2 percentage points of each other.
Isn't that amazing, you guys?
I mean, and obviously the people that didn't practice, I mean, they were way down, right? They were way down.
Yes.
But it's a power of the mind. And Olympic athletes actually use this, okay? I can promise you, I don't know them all personally, but those that have won like the medals, right?
Right.
They use this principle all the time. They go and do their skiing for 8 hours a day or whatever the body can handle. And then they spend another 2 hours working in their mind to see themselves going down that ski run, right? We use this principle in helping individuals recover from stroke. Even there's a ton of research on this, that if you just do straight physical therapy versus if you do physical therapy and envision yourself moving your arms, moving your legs, whatever area is injured, that you recover faster and to a greater degree than the folks that just do straight physical therapy. So it's just,
it's amazing. Powerful. Like the power of our mind. And in Romans 12:2 is one of my things, like, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You guys, we have the opportunity to change our life if we choose to start thinking differently. And one of the things that I do, Darlene, and I would love to give you an opportunity to give me any additional things that I could be doing better. But one of the things that I did was I took the time to think about what I want my life to look like from a standpoint of all aspects, right? So my health and well-being, my relationships, my vocation, my time and money, freedom. And I wrote out what that would look like, what my relationship would look like, what would my body would feel like, what would I be doing? And what I did was I recorded myself saying basically reading what I wrote in the most energetic way I could, because I wanted the feeling, the energy to be there. And then what I do every single morning as part of my morning routine is I listen to myself speaking this life into existence. And I close my eyes and I feel the emotions. I feel what it would feel like doing the things and feeling the things and hearing the things and touching the things. And I find that my decisions, my choices that I make throughout the day are consistent with that version of the life that I visualize every morning. I act as if it's already there with the tiniest little decisions that I'm making throughout the day. And those tiny decisions that I make throughout the day are what are going to lead to the big decisions that I can ultimately make to make that life happen. So thoughts on that?
Yeah. So first of all, I love that you do that. Listen, anybody listening to this, if you will adopt this one habit every single day, your life will transform in a matter of weeks and months. Let me tell you what, it's impossible for it not to transform. Yeah. It's so powerful. So I love that you brought this up, and I love that you're engaging your senses during it, and you're adding emotion, because here's one of the other things I found. So when I was doing this research in France, telling people, okay, imagine yourself moving your arm or your legs. Certain people, it was easy for them. And some people, it was really hard. In fact, a third of people can't naturally do that. They actually don't produce a brain signal initially. But I said, okay, well, I'm a teacher too. So how can we teach them?
Yeah.
So I studied all the ways to activate this mirror neuron network, and you've brought up a few. So one of them is when you engage more of your senses. So you're not just focusing on the visual, right? You're focusing on what you're hearing, what you're tasting, you know, touching, all of those things, right? When you incorporate that as well. And when you add in emotion, All right, then that activates some other centers in the brain, like the amygdala, which actually harness a lot of power, okay? So it actually speeds up the transformation of those brain pathways and the renewing of your mind. So those are really, really powerful. Now, here's the one thing that I would say, I love what you're doing, and I don't, you didn't share your process for getting to that vision, but just for anyone listening, okay, here's what I would say, because listen, what's that story that I told a few minutes ago? I had the vision of being a neurosurgeon, right? When I was like kicked out of France, I like to say it like that. Not exactly what happened, but anyway, so I held that vision and that's what I got. Right. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, right? I love where I am right now and I'm in the perfect place to be, but I wonder if I had held a different vision at that time.
Right.
If I had, instead of saying, well, that's all I can do, if instead I had gone to God and said, God, here's what I think. Mm-hmm. Here's what I've written down about my vision. Cause I was super specific.
Yes.
I'm like, I want to work at a top five hospital in the country. You know, I want to, you know, only be doing elective surgery. I didn't want to be taking care of trauma patients cause it was just too hard on my heart.
Yeah.
You know, when patients wouldn't make it. Right. Yeah. So I'm like, I need something where no one dies. So I was super specific, but what if I had taken that vision to God and said, God, here's what I see. Here's what I want. What do you have for me? Cause this is what I found is the vision he has over your life. It is orders of a magnitude greater
100%.
Than you can possibly imagine. So for those listening, take that vision, right? Take it to God first and then take the vision and write it on the tablets, right?
Right.
And let me tell you about that verse in Habakkuk 2,
yeah,
too,
please.
Right?
Yeah.
You know who the runners are? The runners are your brain cells actually running with the message to bring it into fruition. So you are not the runners. Your brain cells are actually the runners. So it's just a matter of holding on to it.
Yes. And that gets back to one of my passions is, you know, not hustling for the sake of hustling and to allowing ourselves to receive all the blessings. And thank you for bringing that up, because I literally, the last line in my vision statement is this or something better, because I know that God has something even better planned for me. So if this particular vision is not exactly what he has planned, I trust that he will bring this or something better into fruition. But going back to, you had actually mentioned that at one point of our conversation, you know, how do you get in alignment with really where God is trying to lead you? What advice would you have for people who are like, I have no clue where I'm supposed to go. I don't know how to dream. I don't know what I'm capable of. I don't even know where to start.
Okay. Well, first of all, if somebody said that to me, I would say you are incorrect about those statements. Okay. Because one, the scriptures tell us in 2 Peter 1:3, that everything we need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. That actually, everything you need, every bit of knowledge, every bit of wisdom you're going to need in this life, it's already in your brain. Okay. It just needs to be unlocked. You are designed for creativity because you are designed by the creator. Okay. There's part of him within you. And the original thing we learn about God is he creates. Therefore, you must create. You are a creator. So here's the thing. There's different frequencies of brainwave activity. Okay. I'm not going to get too much into the weeds here, but brain cells talk to each other at either a faster rate or slower rate. All right.
Yep.
We spend most of our time in the very fast rate. That's where we get into the hustle and grind. So we're actually meant to be in that state for very brief bursts of time. Okay. But when we slow down our brain and we start to rest, we start to relax, right? Then our brainwaves start talking at more of that theta rhythm. That is a frequency that is active during prayer, during meditation, right? And you know what it does? It actually unlocks the subconscious mind. It unlocks all of that wisdom that is deep within you. So here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not going to seem to make sense, but it's so powerful. When you are under pressure, when you are under a deadline and you have no idea what to do and you are scrambling, right? You're doing what I was doing when I first got out of practice, like, oh my gosh, what do? I gotta make some money. I got these bills, right? Stop. Stop. Go rest. Go relax. Go do something else. And then allow God to speak to you Because then you get in that theta rhythm, you can hear from him, and he's going to tap in and highlight that bit of wisdom that you need to know. And it works, and it's powerful, folks. It is very, very powerful, because, you know, I actually did that sort of not by choice. When I first got out, I had an opportunity. My dad goes on these nice trips sometimes, and I wasn't working. And he's like, "Hey, come on this cruise with me." And I said, "Okay, I don't have anything better to do. So I'll go get on a cruise with my dad and my sister."
Yeah.
And so I did. And so I'm just relaxing, enjoying and resting and all of that time. And within that, you know, then I get phone calls about opportunities and these things, they just begin to come up, right? And because I'm open to them now.
Yes.
So listen, that rest time, even when you think you need to be go, 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 if you will just stop, if you will get quiet, you'll put your brain in a state where you can actually receive the information that you need. And then you know that next step already.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so many things that I would love to continue to talk to you about. Like, I don't know if you guys can tell this, those of you that have been listening to, you know, me for the last couple of years, but this is my jam right here. Like everything that Darlene and I are talking about is the things that I geek out on, the personal development part, the unleashing our own superpower within what God is allowing us to do, you know, him through us, allowing ourselves to maximize our brain power and using physics to do it and all of those things. And so I just hope that you can take this conversation, you guys, and use it as the inspiration, the tiny little kindling of belief in yourself that you have it within you. God has put this amazingness within you. And I want you guys to just take yourselves and allow for our belief in you to come through until you can believe in yourself.
Yes.
Because we are meant to be here on purpose for a purpose. And even if you feel stuck right now, I want you to know that it doesn't have to stay that way. And if you are feeling stuck, remember all of the things that we just learned about as far as spiritual, body, all of the things that she talked about. If you're going to bed at night thinking about all the ways that your life is miserable and all of your problems and how you're overwhelmed or everything else, that's what you're going to continue to get more of.
Yes.
But when you can go into it with this new renewed sense of what it is that you want, you are bound by the universal laws of the world that God has created to allow for things to just solve themselves. And it's possible. And so if anything, I just want to give you hope, because there is a better life out there for you. And I hope that this gives you guys the little bit of tools that you have to start that out. Darlene, is there anything else that we haven't had a chance to talk about that you really, really wanted to mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, you know, there's many points that I could bring up, but I just want to reframe what I said. Okay.
Yeah.
So number one, understand that it's possible for you to get out of the place that you are, right? The Lord said all things are possible. Okay. That you do deserve it. Give yourself permission. And in fact, if you'll just write out a statement saying, "I give myself permission to achieve great things in life," even if you don't know what those things are, it's so, so powerful. And then that third step is to tap into that power of the vision and pull up those miracles that God has worked in your life. And as you do that, you will begin to see these incredible, incredible quantum shifts in your life.
Absolutely. You know, you did say something that I really want to touch on, because I think this is going to be important for people, especially those of us who grew up in the church and we're wanting to tap into the vision that God has for us. I think that sometimes we are afraid to give ourselves permission to dream, because we really do want to just trust that God's will for us is better than ours. But we sometimes can have some programming that makes us assume that it does not include abundance, right, or does not include like something too over the top, I guess. And, and one of the blocks that I personally had was I would get to a point where I would, you know, feel that he's leading me towards something. I have this vision that I feel he's given me, that I'm on a stage in front of thousands of people and I'm helping them have light bulb moments because he's speaking through me. Right. So I have this vision, but then there's a part of me that thinks, okay, well, you know, God always has my best interest at heart. over my own. And I think about when Jesus was in the garden, the night that he was betrayed, and he asked God to take this cup of suffering from him. And that did not happen, right? And it was in my discovery where I recognized the truth is that God will give us abundance, but it has to also benefit the greater good. And in that specific situation, if Jesus had gotten his kind of wish come true in that, it would not have benefited the greater good. And so if what we feel is in our hearts is going to give us a life of abundance, but also can benefit the greater good, that's what God wants for us. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. Yeah. I talk a lot about, I call this poverty mindset, right? When we don't step into the fullness of all the resources that are available for us. We actually have a program over at Healing in the Kingdom where we help people break free from this, because the situation is you're designed, every single person on earth is guaranteed provision. You actually, all you have to do is be who you're created to be and you get provision. Okay. To step into abundance, you have to start stewarding well. Okay. Right. So to get to that point, but we're actually designed for wealth, and wealth created related to our purpose. All right. It's found by something interesting that not a lot of people talk about, and that's a partnership with God, right? It's always about what is our part, what is God's part, what do we need to do collaboratively with him? But we need to hold on and open up our mind to understanding how great, how vast God is. I mean, if you even understand, when you study the universe, it's ever expanding. God is ever expanding. Isaiah 54:2 says, expand your tent pegs, right? Make room for more. It's true, because that's what God is always doing. So if we limit the vision, even financially, over our lives, you're limiting your ability to fulfill your purpose, folks. So the desires you have are from God. Sometimes we may misinterpret them. There's a kingdom way to interpret everything. There's a worldly way to interpret everything. And sometimes we get a little confused. Just, you know, we live in the world, right? We're looking at the world all the time.
Right.
So we may interpret a desire as a worldly desire, but you spend time with God and he's like, yeah, that desire is good. It's not a bad desire to want, you know, something nice in your life, right? In fact, you know, some people, if you're meant to talk to kings, look, you better be comfortable around wealth. Okay. Yes. You better know how to use like the 8 forks at a fancy restaurant, right? You know, you need to know these things.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
If you haven't experienced yourself, how is some king in some palace going to listen to you? Of course, they're not going to do that. So we need to stop, you know, deciding based on what other people in the world are telling you, how much, you know, wealth or whatnot you are supposed to have in your life. That is between you and God. Right. And if your heart is submitted to him, then that's what you need to focus on. Okay. Don't worry. No one else is living out your journey except for you. So
I think we could have a whole episode on just,
I know, I might need to come back for that.
I mean, for real, I'm actually reading Genesis right now again. Mm-hmm. And you know, he talks a lot about how the abundance that he gave Abraham, but Abraham then built an altar to thank him. Like, it was never just, he recognized where it came from. And you mentioned Jacob, like, he blessed Jacob with an abundance of livestock and everything. And so just remembering that there are things that he wants for us, guys, and that we can't feel guilty about really showing off the power that God wants to show off through us. And it's an amazing journey. Okay. So you guys, I'm going to make sure that you have all of the ways to connect with Dr. Mayo inside of the show notes, so that if you want to get into, you know, her Facebook group that she runs, if you want to get on her email list, if you want to follow her, work with her, all of the things, I have some of her books, you guys, she's an amazing, amazing person. And I think that there's so much that you have really stepped into to help the world. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a small part of your life. So thank you so much for today.
Oh,
now,
thank you.
As we part, I always ask all of my guests to give our audience one question to ponder that's going to help them move forward from where they are to where they want to be. So what question would you ask them to think about that's going to help them out?
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. This is my favorite question to ask people. And it is regarding your what ifs. And let me explain the question first, and then I'm going to ask it. What usually follows your what if statements? Is it something wonderful and exciting? Or is it something negative? Like, are you thinking about, well, what if the world kind of goes crazy again, like it did the last few years?
Yeah.
Or are you thinking about, what if something great happened? Okay. With that frame of reference, okay, I want you to answer this question. What if your greatest dream is guaranteed to come true? What's your next step?
I love that. Oh my goodness. You guys, I can't wait for you to share with us the insight that you get from that inside of the reviews. Make sure that you're leaving a review. Make sure that you're letting Darlene know exactly all of the things that you appreciated about our conversation. If you haven't already, make sure that you are sharing out this podcast so that the world gets a chance to hear from her. If you haven't taken a screenshot and put it in your stories, make sure that you're doing that now. And I just want to thank you so much for being here today. And I want to thank you guys all for listening. I will see you all here again next week, Wednesday, for another episode of the Unstuck podcast. I hope you guys all have an amazing day. Bye, everybody.
Bye.